Well, I don't know if that song, if you can relate to that, but there's times in my life where I could relate to that feeling of maybe being discouraged and wondering about what is going on in my life. And this past Thursday was kind of one of those evenings where I started to drift that direction after leading our neighborhood Bible study. I was just kind of down about things. It seemed like I just wondered, am I doing any good here? Am I helping people grow closer to God? Is this helping someone? Are people growing in their walk with God? And I just felt like I really didn't know for sure. I couldn't tell, and I wanted to know. That evening, we talked about some crucial concepts about laying down our lives, about taking up our cross and following Christ. Really important things to get a hold of. And it just seemed like it maybe wasn't grasped. And I know that what I see is often not what is actually happening. But that's kind of how I felt. And I came away from that thinking, am I doing any good here? Where is the power of God to transform people's lives if we really got a hold of some of these truths? Or maybe I'm just getting in the way. Do you ever feel like you're just getting in the way of God? Like He wants to do something and you just can't get it right. You just kind of are like in the way of what He wants to accomplish. So I had those thoughts. And then, you know, some of the other voices started to kind of chime in after that. Well, Rob, you know, yeah, you really are kind of a failure, Rob, you know. Yeah, I think that's right. You really don't have it together. Maybe you should just get out of the way and let somebody else do that. Maybe you've had those voices before, but they're not voices from God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Those aren't voices from God. I've also been aware that many of you are struggling with different things. You've struggled with different challenges in your life. And I've been praying for you in those struggles and challenges. Some of you are struggling with life situations that seem impossible to overcome. You're scared, you're tired, and even frustrated. Some of you are tackling large decisions in life that you really are unsure about what to do. And it scares you to think about which way you should go. Some of you are struggling with sin that, for whatever reason, keeps plaguing you. The same sin, even, that keeps coming back. And you can't seem to get victory over it. You think you've gotten past it, and there it is again, in your face. Some of you are struggling with relationships that seem very complex and very entangled. And you wonder whether you'll ever be able to sort through those problems and those relationships and untangle them so that they can be whole, complete, healthy relationships. I don't know where you're at. I'm sure I didn't name the place that necessarily where you're at. But I know that God wants to offer us some encouragement. He wants us to be encouraged. And I've already been encouraged by listening and singing the music this morning that Liz chose of the triumphant music that we sang this morning. It's such wonderful words that we sang about. I've already been encouraged, and I hope that we can continue to be encouraged this morning as we understand the truth about us and about our situation. Because there is a liar out there who is feeding us lies. And he wants us to believe that we are defeated sometimes. He wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to get down. He wants us to not get up and try again. But Scripture is full of truth, and I've chosen a few for you to remember this morning. So I want us to get our eyes on this truth this morning. The first point I want to make is the Lord is with you. And I don't know do you think of anybody when you think of that phrase, the Lord is with you? I think of somebody in the Old Testament. And I came across this person again in my reading this week, and I was encouraged to read this, Gideon. If you turn to Judges chapter 6 And we're not going to spend a lot of time on the story this morning, so one of your maybe assignments, if you will, would be to read Judges chapter 6 this week to get a handle on what was happening here in this story. But it's about Gideon. He's one of my favorite Bible characters. And so if you turn there to Judges chapter 6, I'm going to start with verse 12. And just a little background before we read verse 12. Of course, the Israelites are in really under captivity. Not under captivity. They're in their homeland, but the Midianites have just taken over. And the Bible describes them almost like a horde of locusts. There's so many of them. They've just taken over the country. And they come in periodically and just steal whatever the Israelites have from the country. And the reason they're there is because the Israelites had fallen into sin. And God allowed them to be conquered by the Midianites in order to draw their attention back to Him. And so the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. We find that in verse 12. It says, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. "But," Gideon said, "but sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." Does that sound familiar at all to you? That kind of response to God. I've been there a few times. Said some similar things like that. And I've heard others say some things like that to God. "But God, you don't understand. I got all these problems out here. Why aren't you fixing these problems in my life? Are you with us? Have you abandoned us? I've heard about things in the past. Where are you today?" I've been caught saying some of those kinds of things. But God speaks the truth into this situation. He speaks the truth to Gideon. And I want you to underline it or highlight it in your Bible. It's okay. You can write in your Bible. So if you have a pen or a highlighter, Judges 6:12, underline or highlight that phrase, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." The Lord is with you. He has not left you to figure this out by yourself. He is with you all the time. Jesus said that He would never leave us or forsake us. He is always with us. It's the truth. The Spirit of God Himself lives inside of us continually. So don't ever believe that He is not intimately involved in your life. It is simply untrue. He is with you each step of the way, and He doesn't abandon you even when you make mistakes or when you sin. He is with you. The Lord is with you. Well, the second point I want to make this morning is that the Lord has given you everything that you need for the battle. He is with you, and He is also giving you everything that you need to fight the battle. You're not waiting for a period of time where you're going to get the things that you need or learn the things that you need to learn. Today, right now, at this point in time, He has given you everything that you need to fight the battle. Now we see that God calls Gideon a mighty warrior. Now let me ask you, from your knowledge of Gideon, does he strike you as a mighty warrior? Not really. He wouldn't be the kind of guy I would pick necessarily to lead a team, at least not initially in his life. We look at him and he admits it. He says, I'm a nobody from a family of nobodies. Why are you picking me to do this? But God calls him a mighty warrior. He calls him for who God sees him he's going to be. He knows that Gideon is going to be a mighty warrior. He sees what Gideon cannot see. And God sees us as well for what we cannot see. He sees that we also can be mighty warriors. And often we don't see that. We feel defeated. We feel pressed down, but we need to understand that we also are a mighty warrior. You are a mighty warrior. You're empowered by the Spirit of God. You have everything you need at this moment in time. Will you struggle with things? Well, yes. The Bible says that we will struggle. We are in a battle. We're going to move into that a little bit more here later on. You will struggle. Will you be persecuted? Yes, the Bible says you will be persecuted. You will suffer. It says that we will suffer with Christ, Christ's sufferings. It's a calling of ours. But are we defeated? Absolutely not. Just because we're struggling doesn't mean that we're defeated. We're in a battle, but we are not defeated. We are a mighty warrior. We're in a heated battle. And what does God tell Gideon to do? If you look down a little bit further, he says, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. I will go with you and you will defeat the Midianites. So you see, Gideon didn't need to go through some preparation plan for this. God said, go in the strength that you have. Was that because Gideon had a lot of strength? No, Gideon didn't have much strength. But he said, go in the strength that you have. Because you know what? I am going with you. I am going to be the one who fights this battle for you. If you skip to the end, well, how did Gideon win the battle? Do you remember? 300 men against a sea of Midianites. 300 men. Was that a good plan? Probably not one we would have drawn up. But God was making a point to Gideon and to the Israelites. He said, I want to do this. I am going to do this. And it is not by any of your strength or power or whatever that is going to accomplish this. And I want everybody to be clear on that. It is only by my power that you guys are going to conquer the Midianites. So that's why he tells Gideon to go in the strength that he has. And that's what he tells us as well. To be confident in the strength that we have, not that we have much strength, but we know what? That God is with us. That he is going to go with us. And that he will be the one who will win the battle for us. So maybe you don't feel very strong this morning, but it's enough because the Lord is with you. He will fight for you. So step out in faith, step out with confidence, and go in the strength that you have. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. All right, I want to jump to Ephesians chapter 6 to kind of continue this theme that the Lord has given you everything that you need for the battle. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's see what the New Testament has to say about this. And we are going to begin in verse 10. And once again, I will encourage you to take out your pen or your highlighter and underline this or highlight it in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Once again, we are called to be strong, but only in the Lord is that possible. Only in his mighty power can we be strong. This strength is not dependent on us. It is not dependent on our strength. And in fact, it is in our weakness where God's strength is the most evident. It is when we are weak that God's strength is the most evident. And we see that, we've seen that already in the story of Gideon. When they were obviously weak, the size of their army was pitiful. But God showed his strength in a powerful way. And he wants to do the same in our lives. We are called to be strong. Strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So, first assignment, read Judges chapter 6. The second one, read Ephesians chapter 6. And go through these verses. Once again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. There'd be a lot of things we could talk about in this passage. But Paul reminds us that we are in a spiritual battle. And that we must make use of all the armor that God has given to us. He supplied it to us. We must make use of the truth that we know. We must make use of his righteousness. There is nothing else that we can stand on other than the righteousness of Jesus. We must stand on that. We must make use of his word in our lives. And that's what we're doing right now, is we are looking at the truth from God's word of what it says about us and our situation. Not about those voices out there that are telling us that we are defeated, but the truth of what the word of God says about us and our situation. That's what we're doing, and we need to make use of that. So his second assignment is to read Ephesians chapter 6. It says, part of it, he says that we must pray all kinds of prayers on all occasions for each other. And I thought about taking some time to do that this morning. I'm not sure we're going to have time at the end here, but let's remember to pray for each other in this battle. This is a crucial part of how we support each other, how we draw on God's strength, is to call out to him in prayer. And part of how we do that is we have to know what is going on in each other's lives. We have to be able to share with another brother or sister and say, you know what, I am really struggling with this. I need help. I need somebody to pray for me. And just take that moment right there and just pray for each other. That's what God is calling us. We need to avail ourselves of all the tools that he's given to us. He's given us so much. He's properly equipped us for battle. We need to make use of those tools as we do battle in this spiritual arena. For in him we can be strong even when we are weak. The last point I want to make this morning is that Jesus has set you free from sin. And I'd like to look in Romans chapter 7 and 8. And once again, we're going to look briefly at a few verses here. I encourage you to read it over more on your own this week. Romans chapter 7 and 8. The end of chapter 7 highlights a person who is struggling with sin. Let's pick up in verse 21. Romans chapter 7. This is Paul speaking. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Now, we'll get to the punchline here shortly, but does this sound like someone who is strong in the Lord? Well, it doesn't exactly sound that way to me. And there's some debate among scholars as to whether this passage is describing Paul as a believer or something is so negative that it can't be him as a believer, but before he came to Christ. And there's good arguments for both interpretations. But I believe we're looking at someone who desperately wants to obey God, but he can't figure out how to make it happen. And I can identify with that struggle of wanting to obey God and wanting to do what he says, but struggling with sin in my life that for whatever reason I can't seem to get past. And so sometimes we maybe get into this point of where we feel discouraged. This sounds like a discouraged person to me. What a wretched man I am. But we are looking here at a believer who is in the midst of a battle and who is experiencing significant weakness. We're looking at someone who is trying their best to conquer sin, but they're trying to conquer sin on their own strength. So you see in this passage, it doesn't say much about God being with me. It doesn't say much about God fighting the battle. It looks to me like we're looking at someone who is trying to legalistically figure this out for themselves and fix their life. Has anybody ever tried to fix your life, problems in your life? Anybody honest with me this morning? Yeah, we've all tried to fix our lives. It's a frustrating experience to try and fix our lives because We don't have the capability to do it. And so if that's where we're at, to try and just by sheer energy and will to fix the problems in our lives, to not sin, it's going to be a frustrating experience. And I think that's what we see Paul describing here, of trying to depend on the law, on our own ability to fix our lives. They're fighting it all for all they're worth, but there's little mention of God's role in it. And the result is frustration, discouragement, and a feeling of defeat. But let's move on to the next verse. Paul doesn't stay here. He says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that's the answer to the question. He says, "Who can rescue me? Who can rescue me from this?" And we know the answer to that, don't we? Jesus Christ can rescue us from that state. He is the one who has the power to deliver us from sin in our lives. We don't have to live in defeat. And Paul moves on in Romans 8 here, verse 1. He says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." If you are a follower of Christ, you are not condemned. And you should not live under condemnation. You don't listen to the enemy who wants to beat you down and discourage you. Every time you sin, he wants to just grind you into the ground and make you so discouraged about that you don't even want to get up and try again. That's the work of the enemy. That is not the work of God. We are not condemned. And just as God looked at Gideon and pronounced him a mighty warrior, God looks at you and pronounces you a new creation in Christ. He sees you for who you are in Christ. And he wants you to see yourself for who you are in Christ. A new creation. Old things are gone. The new has come. He sees what you are becoming. Jesus' death on the cross was enough. It was enough to cover it all. Your current sins, your past sins, your future sins. It was enough. Now, does this give us a license to sin? Well, of course not. If we sin, we know that there are consequences to sin. We will suffer those consequences. Sin is terrible. It's an affront to God. We don't make light of it. And if we love the Lord, we will always feel and should feel genuine sorrow for the sin that we've committed in our lives. That's a normal feeling of genuine sorrow for that sin. But we are not defeated. Just because we have fallen into sin does not mean that we are defeated or condemned by God. We are not under condemnation. And so we should not live under condemnation. Jesus told the woman, if you remember, he said, "Neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more." We are in a battle, and it will be a battle to the end. We will fight sin to our last breath, and we will need to fight it with all that we have. But remember, God is with us. He is the one that is fighting that battle. And that's what we're depending on. He's with us every step of the way. He's given us everything we need to fight. He is fighting for us. And Jesus has given us freedom from sin. It has no control over us, and we are not condemned by it. We have everything we need for every situation that we will ever face. So we need to fill our minds with this kind of truth. Now, I'd like to close this morning by reading some more truth from the end of chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to close with this. Verse 31. Paul says, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Think about that. If God is for us, who can be against us? "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for how it straightens out our thinking about who we are and what our situation looks like. And I pray that we would cling to your truth, that we would not believe the lies that creep into our minds. Lord, we thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you for all that we have in you. We thank you that you are with us all the time. We thank you for all the things that you have given to us to fight the battle that we are in. And Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness that we have of sin, that we are not condemned, but we are forgiven through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We give thanks to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.